a day of sacred delights. Do you look at the Sabbath that way? A day of sacred delights? A day to rejoice in the good things God has given us? I've called that today, that message today. I've also called it the sacred pleasures of the Sabbath. Because sometimes as I reflect upon my own experience with the Sabbath, and I had to mature into it, I had to kind of grow into it, and maybe you're in that stage as well. But what is the Sabbath for? What is it given to us for? The day of sacred delights. Oh, they're picking corn on the Sabbath. How dare they? And Jesus responded, "Have you never read?" Let us pray. Father in heaven, in the next few moments, as we sit at the feet of our Savior, Lord, it's your voice we long to hear. It's your message we long to hear preached to our minds and our hearts this morning. Lord, here we are, coming tossed and harried from the week with all of the cares and concerns and worries that we carry with us. We lay them down at the feet of the cross, Lord. We lay them before our Creator. And now we seek a word from you. Speak through me to all of us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Back and forth to Syracuse I've been, you know, for this nominating committee. Debbie, you know, because your good friend Melissa is there. And I'm sure she tells you about her trips. But back and forth to Syracuse. But the other day, something kind of hit me. And I call this a sermon starter. All right, just like a soup starter. You know, this is a sermon starter. I was driving up there in the little town of Nedro, just this side of Syracuse, off exit 16. And I came to a traffic light, you know, in the business section. You know, there's hotels, businesses, gas stations nearby. And I saw one of those triangular stand-up signs that had quite an interesting message on it for me. Now, you may not know the name that was mentioned on the sign. I'll just say it real quickly here. But the sign said, I'm going to read it up close here. If Stephen Baldwin can get his massage here, so can you. Now, Stephen Baldwin, I wouldn't recognize him if I saw his face, but I understand that he's a Hollywood actor type, you know, comes from the famous Baldwin family. If he can get his massage here, so can you. Now, what are they trying to say to us? You know, what message are they trying to get across? Well, if it's good enough for this famous Hollywood celebrity, then maybe you want to come here and get a massage too. Now notice it didn't say anything about the quality massage. It didn't say anything about what they were going to do, you know. But hey, Stephen Baldwin was here. You know what they were doing? They were name dropping. Name dropping. You know, if you take a product and you associate it with a well-known Hollywood celebrity or a famous sports star or someone, you know, just like your Wheaties box always has a sports celebrity on the cover, you know, oh, if I just eat this brand of cereal, you know, I'm going to be big and strong like this person. If I just try this particular product, I'm going to be beautiful or handsome like that person, you know. And they use celebrities, the beautiful people, the jet set, the upper crust of society to produce their products, to share their products. They're name dropping, putting a name associated with it to get you to buy the particular product or service. Well, when it comes to name dropping, our Lord is the best. Because Jesus says, "I, the Son of Man, am Lord of the Sabbath." Now, when it comes to keeping the Sabbath, I can think of no other reason for keeping the Sabbath than Jesus kept the Sabbath. Okay? I mean, there's our prime example, right? You know, I remember years ago hearing Paul Harvey talk about that very thing. You remember Paul Harvey, the famous radio celebrity? And he said that, you know, a lot of people think he was Seventh-day Adventist. I read someplace he was actually baptized as a Seventh-day Adventist. We know his wife was. But he said, he gave the proper response when he said that someone was asked one day, "Why do I keep the Sabbath?" And he says, "Because Jesus kept the Sabbath. And if Jesus could keep the Sabbath, then it's good enough for me." What better answer do we need? Okay? Well, Jesus certainly did keep the Sabbath. In fact, he came to show us not only the day of the Sabbath, but the way of the Sabbath. Now, when Jesus walked this earth, there was no issue about which day was the Sabbath. Okay? There was no Sabbath Sunday controversy. There was no, well, pick a day and keep it as your Sabbath, as I've heard some Christians say. There was no issue about what day was the Sabbath. Because after all, all the way back at creation, anybody could pick up their Bible and read there in Genesis 2. God rested on the, seventh day. Okay? You know, people get surprised sometimes. Well, how do you know it's the same day? Well, I say, look at your calendar on your wall. You know, oh, wow, Saturday's the seventh day. Wow, I didn't realize that. You know, people get surprised, you know, when they discover this. Well, Jesus, the very one who created the Sabbath, he rested upon it. He sanctified it. In other words, he set it aside for a holy purpose. And he blessed it. Okay. If you look in your Bible to the second chapter of Genesis, it says exactly that. Now, when the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, who was the active agency of the Godhead, the Trinity, who is the agent of creation? John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And then the next verse says, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. In other words, the Lord Jesus that walked this earth there in the New Testament was the Lord Jesus who created all things, heaven and earth. And so when you're reading through the first chapter of Genesis, and God spoke, and he said, let there be light. That was the pre-incarnate. That was Jesus Christ himself. Now, all of the members of the Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, were actively involved in creation. But it was Jesus who was the active creator. And he spoke, and there was light. And he spoke the next day, and the waters up above separated from the waters beneath. And he spoke on the third day, and the land separated from the waters. And he spoke on the fourth day, and the sun and the moon were set in place. And he spoke on the fifth day, and he created the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky. And then it says he did something very interesting. After he created these living creatures, the Bible for the first time uses that word, he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the heavens, fill the seas. He blessed them. And I think it's worthwhile for us to take a moment and analyze that concept of blessing, since we're going to run into it a little bit later when we read about the Sabbath day. Because on the sixth day, of course, you remember God, you know, made the animals, told them be fruitful and multiply. And then he created the first man and the first woman, okay? And he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, okay? And so I'm scratching my head. What does it mean when it says God blesses something? Well, God gave animals the capability of doing something very, very incredible, and that is to reproduce after their own kind. Right? You know, God creates, we recreate, we procreate, we can do everything but create. Okay? God creates, given animals, given mankind the capacity to procreate, in other words, to produce children after our own kind. How does God do that? He must put something integral, so an important, vital part of himself into that which he has created in order to enable us to empower humanity to create in its own kind. What does this have to do with the Sabbath, you say? Well, let's go down a few verses to Genesis 2. Where it says that God, after he had created the heavenly hosts, after he had created this entire universe, it said he came to the seventh day and he did what? He rested. Okay? Now God rested because he's all tuckered out. He's all weary from all this work of creating, right? No. God rested because he's the master artist. God rested because he had made his masterpiece, his opus magnus, they call it. And he sat back and like the master artist said, oh, it's very good. Very beautiful. Everything's functioning properly. Everything is in harmony. Everything is in synchronization. So that all nature works in a synchronous, harmonious fashion. And it's beautiful to behold. And he looked upon the first man and the first woman and made in his own image and said, oh, they're so beautiful. They're my children. And then he said, I'm going to give them a special gift. Not just the gift that I give them in creation. Not just the gift of all of the material things around them. But I'm going to give them a gift in time. And so the Bible says God rested. In other words, he ceased from his work on the seventh day. And he blessed it. There's that word again. And he sanctified it, or set it aside for a special purpose. Now, when the Bible says God blesses something, I said, it's like he puts a portion of himself into that, okay? So that every time a seventh day comes around, there's something special, there's something spiritually unique about this period of time from when the sun goes down on Friday night to when it goes down on Saturday night. There's something definitely blessed about this time that God has set aside for us. He is in this sense. Now, we worship God every day, right? You know, I hope you get up in the morning and commit your life to God every day. I hope that you have a living experience with Jesus every day. But God has given us a day to really focus on the blessed experience with Jesus. And that's the Sabbath day. We worship Him. We delight in Him. We spend time with Him. We do like the old Apostle John did there on the island of Patmos. You remember Revelation 1? You know, he's there on this slave island. And it says in Revelation 1:10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Isn't it amazing? I got Bibles, you know, that have little annotations at the bottom. And it's almost like a knee-jerk reaction. It says, Sunday, Lord's day. Is that what the Bible calls the Lord's day? No. It says the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. It says the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is the Lord's day. One and the same. One and the same. Okay? So Jesus is the one who gave us a Sabbath day. He's the one who blesses the Sabbath day. He's the one who set it aside. And in the New Testament time, He is the one who, by His example, shows us how to observe the Sabbath day. The issue was not the day of the Sabbath, but the issue was the way of the Sabbath. So how did Jesus show us how to keep the Sabbath day? Well, we read about that in our scripture verse. If you want to turn to Mark chapter 2, in verse 23, it happened. He and his disciples, they were evidently headed home from synagogue on the Sabbath day. And his disciples, because they were hungry, it was lunchtime, they were picking some grain off the stalks, and they were, you know, rubbing it together in their hands, and they were eating it. And the good legal people, the lawyers and the Pharisees, people who were really connected to this Sabbath thing, because they remembered how for years their forefathers had spent time in Babylonian captivity because they had disregarded the Sabbath, because they had got caught up into idolatry, because they had been living in disobedience to God. And they remembered from their forefathers how God had punished them by enslavement to the Babylonians. But then, after they came back from slavery in the Persian Empire, God restored many of them back to Judea. And they said, we're not going to let that happen again. We're going to keep the Sabbath holy now. And we're not only going to keep the Sabbath holy, but we're going to really keep the Sabbath holy. And so they had laws upon laws and restrictions upon restrictions and don'ts upon don'ts. They didn't just have the laws, but they had the bylaws to protect the laws and the bylaws to protect some of those bylaws. Did you know they had something like 713 specific restrictions about the Sabbath? Okay? And the idea was, we're going to protect the Sabbath because, after all, we got into so much trouble from breaking the Sabbath, so we're going to make sure that we keep it really, really carefully now. And so they see these disciples with Jesus walking out there, and they're picking corn on the Sabbath and rubbing it in their hands. They're harvesting. They also had a rule, by the way. I understand that don't spit. Okay, expectorate, that's a more sophisticated word, on the Sabbath, because you might accidentally irrigate the blade of grass, and that's work, you know. So you got to be very, very careful about all these kind of ridiculous little things. Don't fry an egg on the Sabbath. If your house catches fire on the Sabbath, don't put it out. But if a Gentile non-Sabbath keeper happens to be coming along, you can call on him to put out your fire for you, okay? A lot of these ridiculous little nitpicky type of rules, okay? So Jesus is confronted by these Pharisees who say, what are you doing letting your disciples harvest on the Sabbath? Well, Jesus, being the Bible preacher that he was, calls their attention to a time when David, who they held in very high esteem, goes into the house of the Lord and eats of the holy bread, which no regular person was to eat from. And Jesus makes a comparison. He's in effect comparing the temple of the Lord with the day of the Lord. He's saying, if David could do this on the Sabbath and be guiltless, why are you opposed to my disciples taking care of their human hunger on the Sabbath? And he goes on and says, the Sabbath was made for man. Verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Now what's the point here? Jesus is telling his disciples, he's telling the Pharisees, and he says to you and I today, the Sabbath is given to us for a blessing, not a burden. Now, I know we hear a lot about talks about the mark of the beast versus the seal of God in the end times, and those who are characterized as receiving the seal of God are Sabbath keepers. I understand that, okay? But having said that, do we really understand what a blessing the Sabbath is intended to be for us? Come back again to the example of Jesus. He says the Sabbath was made for man. In other words, made for man's benefit, made for man's blessing. God, all the way back at creation, he saw how we would get so involved in a workaday activities, how scratching out our existence day after day after day. And so God says, I'm setting a time aside when I want you to put your cares and worries of the week behind you. I want you to climb to the top of the mountain and see the sunshine now. I want you to bask in the sacred pleasures of the Sabbath, the rest that it gives you. Jesus says, the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, he says, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. Now, some people have the audacity to think that he's saying, well, since the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath, he changed it. Okay? Now, I'm not from Missouri. You know, they call that the show me state. But I would have to say that if somebody said Jesus changed the Sabbath to Sunday, I'd have to say, take this book and show me, you know, because it's not there, right? But again, Jesus didn't come to show us the day of the Sabbath. He came to show us the way of the Sabbath. How is the Sabbath kept? Well, by his example, he shows us we need to understand the Sabbath is made for man and not man for the Sabbath. What does that mean? Let's follow the life of Jesus for just a few moments, if we could. Jesus performed miracles day after day after day as he ministered in his heart of compassion to people in need, right? He healed people. He made the lame to walk. He made the blind to see. He healed sick people. He cast out demons day after day after day. All through the four Gospels, you have the account of Jesus doing miracles. But did you know that there's something unique and special about the miracles that Jesus specifically did on the Sabbath day? By the way, there's seven of them. All right? I won't list them all for you right now, but if you want to do your own homework on this and look through the four Gospels, you see that Jesus did seven specific miracles on the Sabbath day. And there was something unique about these miracles. All right? Day after day, people would approach Jesus, Lord, save me. Lord, heal me. Lord, cast demons out of my daughter. Lord, help me. And Jesus, in his heart of mercy and compassion, would save them, do miracles for them. On the Sabbath day, Jesus would initiate contact with the people. In other words, Jesus would approach the people to be healed. Example, John chapter 5, Jesus at the pool of Bethesda. He looks at this pool where legend had it that if an angel came down and stirred up the waters of this pool, then the first person into the water would be healed of their sickness. And so Jesus looks at this pathetic scene of all of these sick people, lame people, people laying there hoping against hope to be the first one into the pool when the waters were stirred. And he sees the whole wretched sight of all. A man who was immobilized, paralyzed for 38 years and couldn't move a muscle in his body to get himself to the pool. Jesus walks up to this man and says, interesting question, do you want to be made well? Lord, yes, but I can't. There's no one to help me to the pool. Jesus tells him, get up and walk. You know, if Jesus tells you get up and walk, you obey. Get up and walk. Doesn't matter what your condition is, get up and walk. If Jesus tells you see, then see. If Jesus tells your deaf ears to hear, then your deaf ears will hear. He spoke, and it was. And the man did, and he got up and walked. And then the Bible mentions, and it happened to be a Sabbath day. Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath, but not just his physical body, because Jesus also told this man, now stop sinning or something worse will happen to you. Okay? So lesson number one, Jesus did seven specific miracles recorded in the four Gospels on the Sabbath. And each time he initiated the contact with the person. Remember I said one of the joys of the Sabbath, God blesses the Sabbath by being in the Sabbath. Okay? He brings himself into our lives in a special way on his Sabbath day. This gift of time he's given us. He initiates the contact. He comes to us. We always think of ourselves as having to rush after him. He comes to us on the Sabbath day. On the Sabbath day, he comes to us offering healing, offering forgiveness, offering a closer walk with us on this sacred treasure called the Sabbath day. And he invites us into a special walk with himself. The joy of the Sabbath. What does Sabbath mean? It means rest. It means we rest, we put our ordinary work aside, and we rest in his work, completed in us, and still doing, still working in us. So, that's a lesson we learn when it comes to keeping the Sabbath. Jesus comes to us in the gift of time that he gives us. But more than that, he teaches us what is good to do on the Sabbath. Matthew 12:12, he says, it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Lawful to do good. Now, what is good? The rule is, the rule of thumb, good spiritual rule here, if you're doing it for your own selfish benefit, such as earning your livelihood, such as doing it because I'm earning money, or such as doing it for any other reason, then it's because I'm doing it as an exercise of compassion to someone in need, then it's not good, proper Sabbath keeping. Okay? And here's a good example from our Lord as well. He comes home from the synagogue one day to Peter's house. Peter's mother-in-law is sick in another room. You can read about this in the 8th chapter of Mark 1:29 talks about it as well. It's a Sabbath day. Peter's mother-in-law is sick. And she'd love to get up and serve the dinner and get everything prepared. She can't. She's sick in bed. Jesus sees this case and immediately goes to her bedside, puts his hand upon her, and heals her. And she gets up and serves them. Okay, he sees an immediate need. He sees an immediate case where compassion and mercy are called for, and he heals her. But then the Bible says, at sundown, when the sun goes down, the rest of the people with their needs, many human needs, they come to him for healing. Okay, in other words, he initiates the normal course of his work for the rest of the week, but after the sun goes down. Okay? Now, there's some real significance there. How should we keep the Sabbath? There is always... When I was in college, well, even growing up, I grew up on a dairy farm. You got to milk them cows, even if it's Sabbath. Cows don't know when the Sabbath is. Okay? You and I do. All right? You have to milk those cows. And when I was at Andrews University, I worked for part of the time on the dairy department. You have to milk those cows. You can't let them just suffer during the Sabbath. But I learned a spiritual lesson there. You can take me out of the normal observance of the Sabbath, but you can't take the spirit of the Sabbath out of me, even if I'm in a situation that's not ideal. People's needs need to be tended to. Our medical institutions, Loma Linda, Florida Hospital, they stay open on the Sabbath. And ideally, still keeping the spirit of the Sabbath alive, even as they continue to tend to the needs of people. Okay? Patients still need to be cared for. Meals still need to be served. But it's with a different attitude than the rest of the week, because we're not there to just earn money. You know, many times when I would go in early in the morning, whether it's to milk cows or to shovel sidewalks or something, it all had to be done on Sabbath morning, I wouldn't check in. I didn't want to get paid for this. Now I'm doing it as a loving service. I'm not doing it for the money. Okay? Because Jesus has given us that example. We are not to be earning our livelihood upon the Sabbath. But, he said, it is lawful to do good. By good, he means deeds of compassion, deeds of mercy, deeds of helping someone. If I happen to be an auto mechanic, and heaven knows I'm not, but let's pretend for a moment I'm an auto mechanic, and I have a garage, All right? And that's where I earn my livelihood. But that place is closed on Sabbath. All right? But I'm driving home on the highway. I'm headed home from church, you know, anticipating a good meal. And there is a car broken down along the side of the road. And there's a man and woman, maybe a family, you know, they're standing outside and they're scratching their heads and they don't have a clue what to do. Okay? Hey, I got auto mechanic skills. I stop along the road and I do what it takes to help this family in distress. Okay? On the Sabbath. But I don't have my shop open on the Sabbath. See the difference? Okay? Human need will always have to be met every day. Animal needs sometimes have to be met every day. Jesus, as he defended his disciples eating the grain off the stalks on Sabbath, he was acknowledging their human needs needed to be met. The Sabbath is made for man, not man for the Sabbath. But it is still a day to focus our attention, to focus our time on God, our Creator, who made us. You know, and that's why the devil tries to confuse us so much on the Sabbath. That's why he laughs and delights in getting most of the Christian world to forget the day that God specifically said to remember. You know why? Every time we keep the Sabbath, it's kind of like sticking a big wooden stick in his eye. Huh? It's saying, remember, God created this, devil. You didn't. I am made in the image of God. And every time I keep the Sabbath, it reminds me, I'm made in his image, I am his child, I am the product of his, the ultimate product of his creative process. He loves me, I am beloved of him. And the Sabbath is a sign and a memorial that I am important to him, that I matter to him. So the Sabbath reminds us that we are made in God's image. It reminds us that God wants to spend sacred time with us. Oh, I know. We get up on Sabbath morning. Or let's back up a bit. We come down the Friday night and we just got home from work and the house is a wreck. And nothing's prepared. And we find ourselves trying to pull things together at the last minute. And that sun goes down over the horizon. And now we don't know what to do. And we're exhausted. And we just kind of want to crash. And the next morning we know we're supposed to get up and get to church on time. But we just, I'm so tired today. Maybe the Sabbath teaches something else about how to manage our time. Because when we put our focus and we put our attentions and our energies towards preparing for the Sabbath, we find that the rest of the week goes better as well. Okay? Just like when you focus your, just like when you return back to God, the tithe that he commands of us and offerings, we discover that we can do better with the rest of our income than if we didn't pay tithe. So it is with the Sabbath. When we keep the Sabbath holy and we make allowance for being prepared for the Sabbath, we discover miraculously that we do better with the rest of our time as well. Okay? Why? Because just like the tithe was set aside as holy, so the Sabbath is set aside as holy. Just as the tithe and offerings are blessed of the Lord, and we expect them to multiply and fulfill his work, so is the Sabbath blessed of the Lord. And so as God rested upon the Sabbath day, he calls for you, he calls for me to enter into that rest. To remember that he's the one who worked so that we could have all the abundance that he has given us. I look at the Sabbath kind of as a reset button. You know, you can look at it in a variety of ways, right? You know, a time to spend with God, yes. A time to fellowship with God's people, yes. A time for good potluck and maybe even slip in a nap in the afternoon? Yes. But to me, it's kind of like a reset button. You know, the devil afflicts us all every which way during the course of the week. He afflicts me too, okay? And by the time the Sabbath comes around, I need that time for rededication. I need that time to recharge those spiritual batteries. Oh, I get up and I say my prayers in the morning. I have my Bible study every day and I do all the right devotionals and things like that. But I need the Sabbath time to kind of re-punch that button and reset my life and to restart for that next week. that time where I focus upon God, the one who not only creates us, but recreates us on his Sabbath. That's why he gave it to us. Not to be arbitrary. Well, you better keep the Sabbath or else, you know. And I understand, again, about the seal of God and the mark of the beast and all these issues. But God gave it to us as a blessing because he knew we need this time to rededicate our lives. We need this time to reset that button because of the trials we've been through in the week. We need that time to spend with God and to focus on his creation, to focus on his goodness, to structure our lives around him, and to remember it is he who gives us the rest that we need, that spiritual rest. And so it's no accident, in closing, in Matthew 11, 28 and on, Jesus says, "Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you." And then the very next story is the story of Jesus in the wheat field saying, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Come to Jesus for rest. Come to the Son of Man. Come to the Lord of the Sabbath by experiencing the Sabbath of the Lord. And he will give you that rest. And so my encouragement to you today, learn how to rest in Christ on the day that he has given us specifically to rest. Put your cares, put your worries behind you. When Friday night comes around, your house is a different place. There is good Christian music being played. There is an atmosphere in your home of peace, of rest, an atmosphere that says, "Welcome God into my home." Every day, to be sure, but especially on the Sabbath day, welcome your heavenly Creator into your home and make it a blessed Sabbath from week to week. May we pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the gift in time, yes, a palace in time that you have created for us. This day of sacred pleasure, this time to put our concerns and our worries aside and to remember that you are above it all, that you are the God of the universe, and that there's nothing that we need to worry and fret ourselves over but what you can care for it. And Lord, the Sabbath reminds us of that week after week after week. Lord, recharge our weary batteries, reset our life button, and help us, Lord, to be strengthened in you every time we keep the Sabbath, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.